Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that, honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's story is a listener suggestion. Unfortunately, Ollie's story was suggested way back before I had the help keeping all my admin stuff, the suggestions, organised. Please, if you suggested Ollie's story, please reach out and I'll add your name to the show notes and prioritise another suggestion. As I've mentioned, my admin organisation has become much more well organised this year, so I have a system in place where this isn't a nightmare for me going forward, which, thank goodness, considering my suggestion list is almost at 300 at current. But I am dedicated to telling each and every one of these stories and any more that come through. As long as you keep listening, I'll continue keeping these children's stories alive. October 2017, Leicester, England. A newborn baby boy is rushed to hospital, where he would be pronounced dead soon after arriving. Cause of death is not immediately evident, as Ollie has no visible injuries. But his autopsy would soon uncover one of the worst cases of child abuse the UK has ever seen. This is Ollie's story.
Walking. I don't know. Do you know that you have, like, the called vertebrae at the back?
Oh, yeah.
Each vertebrae is numbered, isn't it? And what we're told from the post-mortem is that the, let me get this right, the C4 and 5 vertebrae have broke, effectively. Yeah. They've come apart. Yeah. Effectively, your neck bones.
Yeah. It's a mistake.
Yeah. And if that happens, then 9 times out of 10, it will lead to death.
Mm. Ollie Davis was born September 21st, 2017, in Leicester, England, to parents 31-year-old Kaylee Driver and 29-year-old Michael Davis. He would be the first child born to the couple, with Driver having several other children born to previous relationships, children who didn't live with her, but she had visitation access with. And although he was born smaller than normal, Ollie was healthy and he was strong. His discharge report after his birth would state the newborn was thriving. A little boy who would later be described as a ray of sunshine. Now, Driver and Davis weren't together when Driver got pregnant. By the time she realised she was pregnant, she'd already moved on and was living with another man. But when she found out she was carrying Davis's baby, they rekindled their relationship, really wanting to be a family and to raise Ollie together. The family lived at 31 Upper Temple Walk in the Beaumont Leys area of Leicester, and this area is a run-down and low-income area, lots of poverty and unemployment. But despite that, the Davis family were a close-knit one. When Ollie was taken home, there was lots of support to help the new parents to raise their young baby. Driver and Davis living with Driver's mother, Mandy Bolton, and her husband, Peter, as well as Driver's half-sister, Georgia. So there would always be a pair of hands willing and able to help with the baby if the new parents needed that. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
On the morning of October 21st, 2017, emergency services were called to the home on Upper Temple Walk in Leicester, England. Inside the home, four-week-old Ollie Davis was found unresponsive in his crib. He was rushed to Leicester Royal Infirmary. But despite the best efforts of medical staff to revive the newborn, Ollie was pronounced dead at 7:30 a.m. Right away, something didn't sit right with the medical staff. There were no obvious signs of injuries and he didn't seem unwell. Well, Driver and Davis didn't report the baby being sick in the lead up to his death. And because of this, when there isn't any obvious cause of death, there would need to be an autopsy for answers as to what happened here. Ollie's autopsy showed this was not some sudden and unexpected tragedy. Ollie had suffered 40 fractures, including a broken neck, a fractured collarbone, breaks to the joints in his arms and legs, and 23 rib fractures. The pain from the rib fractures alone would have made just breathing incredibly painful. And what does a baby do to communicate this? By crying, which would have only made that pain more agonizing. This is incomprehensible to me. These injuries, except the neck injuries, were inflicted over various overlapping time frames of up to 10 days before his death. And remember, Ollie had only been in this world for 30 days. A week of that spent in hospital due to his low birth weight. So what this means is half this sweet baby's home life was filled with violent abuse. The medical examiner determined the break to his neck had been snapped between 4 and 8 days before his death. And it was because of the delay of medical treatment for this particular injury. This resulted in Ollie to stop breathing and eventually his death. The trauma was so severe that the medical examiner, Dr. Hamilton, he wrote in his report the force needed for these injuries is, quote, severe compressive force, unquote, comparing these injuries to those typically seen in high-speed car crashes. That the neck break could not have been caused by just shaking. Ollie's neck would have had to have been forced back past its normal limits and severe force needed. This would have been an extremely painful death. So following these damning autopsy results, it was clear that this was a case of child abuse and homicide. And an investigation into little Ollie Davis's death was launched by the East Midlands Special Operations Team. Both parents were initially questioned, but 29-year-old Michael Davis and 31-year-old Kaylee Driver denied any wrongdoing, each claiming he did nothing wrong to harm their newborn son. Davis even claiming, quote, "I don't know. Obviously, I'm not sure how it happened, really." Unquote.
What has potentially killed him is a very serious injury to his spine, his neck, bones have been broken. I don't know, do you know that you have, like, they're called vertebrae at the back?
Oh, yeah.
Each vertebrae is numbered, isn't it? And what we're told from the post-mortem is that the, let me get this right, the C4 and 5 vertebrae have broke effectively, they've come apart.
Yeah.
Effectively your neck bones.
Yeah.
And if that happens, then 9 times out of 10 it will lead to death.
Yeah.
And at this stage, that's how we think. I can't say we know. That's how we think.
Yeah.
Ollie has died. His neck is broke. What do you think of that?
Don't know. We'll see. Not sure, but I'll see how it's happened, really. We'll see. We'll see. Put him down to sleep. He was fine. I don't know. He seemed fine when he was sleeping. Wasn't acting any differently. Or just peaceful, nice. Yeah.
Well, shoulder bone, which is called a clavicle.
Yeah.
It was fractured. Why he broken?
Yeah.
And also his right humerus, which is his arm bone, this bone here.
Yeah.
Yep, fractured.
Yeah.
So we've got a fracture here, and we've got a fracture here.
Yeah.
Okay, it's been broken. Can you explain how that might have happened?
No, I don't. I've got any sort of idea of how it's happened, or...
Is that a shock to you at all? My first question to you is, how do you account for these injuries on Ollie?
That's not really sure how he even got any of them, because I didn't even know there was any of the injuries or anything, because he seemed fine, everything looked fine. Obviously, when he went, when obviously he did fall asleep at around 3-ish, obviously when I told you, some of the woman, policeman that came to the hospital, he seemed fine, he fell asleep, and he looked normal.
So, I know that we've disclosed some of the injuries that we found on Ollie. Are you saying to me, just to clarify, that you don't have an explanation for me?
No.
Okay.
Quite shocked by them, to be honest. Obviously didn't expect.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, before I answer the questions, I will come back to that original question, knowing what potentially the injuries are.
Yeah.
Can you explain or account for them?
No.
Not at all. Okay.
In Driver's interview, she would staunchly defend her boyfriend, saying that she had no idea how her newborn baby came to be completely broken, just that it wasn't her or Davis. That Davis was the most amazing father and he never lost his temper, especially when it came to their baby.
So it's Ollie's humerus.
You can't recall where could have got that from. Unless it is obviously when, like I said, when my son fell onto him.
Okay, so you don't know how he's gotten that injury.
No.
Okay. Also up here, along here, is a bone called the collarbone.
Yeah.
To give it its medical name, it's the clavicle.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a bone up here. And that's also got a fracture in it. Do you know how? Can you account for how Ollie got that injury?
No. Can't recall anything.
Okay. The biggest bone in your leg, so the bone that runs from your hip to your knee, is called your femur. Okay. That has also got a fracture to it. On that, the right side. So all these injuries I'm pointing to are on the right hand side. So the right arm, right collarbone, and right femur. Okay.
Because
the only time I put him down, I put him down so smoothly.
I can't think of anything that could have been that.
Okay. No. Is there any way that you could have caused those injuries?
Maybe by rocking him, but smoothly.
Have you ever dropped Ollie?
No.
By accident?
No.
Or has he ever fallen off the bed? Or has he fallen out of your arms?
My arms or my bed, no.
Okay.
Has anybody ever really been on his jaw yet? Because he catches the bus to work.
Have you ever seen him lose his temper with Ollie?
No.
Have you ever lost your temper with Ollie?
No.
Has anyone in that house ever lost a temper with Ollie?
Not that I've seen.
Has anyone in that house ever done anything to Ollie that isn't right?
No. Absolutely.
Not seen.
No.
Okay. Have anyone done anything to Ollie in that house that could explain why he's got a fractured leg, fractured arm, fractured collarbone, a neck injury?
Not that I've seen.
October 27th, 2017. Kaylee Driver and Michael Davis were arrested in connection with Ollie's death. However, they both would be released on bail while police continued their investigation, the couple continuing to refuse to cooperate with the authorities' inquiries. Despite the horrifying injuries, the case took years to bring to trial, the investigation being long and complicated. Police interviewed neighbours, doctors and family members, all to piece together exactly what happened. Authorities confirmed that Ollie had been in the exclusive care of his parents during the timeline of his injuries. Medical experts testifying that Ollie would have been in intense pain for days. He had displaced fractures in his right arm and collarbone, plus multiple broken ribs. He wouldn't have been able to lie comfortably, feed properly, and move without intense pain. Now, a healthcare worker visited the home only 2 days before Ollie's death. This worker apparently watched while he was having his diaper changed, but reportedly didn't see any bruises or swelling. Remember, this baby would have had a broken neck at this point. He wouldn't have been doing good, and that's an understatement. Detective Constable Natasha Batstone, who led the investigation from 2018 onwards, she said it really wasn't surprising the healthcare worker didn't have any concerns. Because yes, Ollie would have been crying during this diaper change, but that isn't unusual for a normal healthy baby. I remember back to when my babies were babies and they hated being naked. They would scream the house down. So it is understandable the health worker thought exactly that. And that's because nothing visibly appeared to be wrong, then everything was okay. When investigators spoke with the neighbours of the family, they would really give a new insight into the environment Ollie lived and died in. They would speak of the home being an eyesore, constantly smelling of urine, that they had at least 19 cats that weren't being taken care of. And obviously, when you don't clean up after your animals, there's a certain stink that quickly develops. That is no fault of the animal because as pet owners, it is our job to make sure that they are looked after. You take them out for walks if you have a dog, you bathe them, you clean up after them, but that obviously wasn't happening here. And while it's not a crime to keep to yourself, the family weren't friendly with the neighbours, putting up privacy screens around the property. Davis and Driver shared a room with Ollie during this time, so the idea neither of them noticed anything unusual with their newborn son is very hard to believe, especially when this wasn't their first time being around a newborn. They weren't first-time parents. It would have been obvious Ollie's behaviour and lack of feeding wasn't normal. Investigators focused on the night of October 20th as the likely time of the fatal injury, the neck injury. Davis had been alone playing with Ollie while Driver was asleep. That night, Davis had been playing video games for hours. He even messaged a friend after midnight saying he dozed off while gaming but planned to keep playing. You see, Davis had this pattern of gaming all night and then sleeping all day, describing himself as a nocturnal owl. One time when Davis was responsible for watching Ollie, he had a driver bring him into the room, but he had to be out of sight in his stroller as to not to disturb his gaming. In the days after Ollie's death, Driver and Davis's behaviour drew more suspicion. Just 2 months later, Driver was posting love-filled public declarations about Davis to Facebook. Quote, "Happy 1 year and 4 months to my man. I wouldn't change you for the world." Unquote. And then later that same month, quote, "I'm so in love with my man. Can't wait to marry him next year. I love you, Michael James Davis." Unquote. Absolutely bizarre when you've only just lost your newborn baby, and you should be still in that grieving period. Davis even set up a fundraiser for SANS, which is a charity that supports families who have lost babies, claiming it was all in Ollie's memory. But then the charity would later confirm they never received any donations from Davis or the fundraiser. Throughout the investigation, several issues delayed legal proceedings. The prosecutors did all they could to continue to push forward. They assembled a strong team, led by Crown Counsel Jonas Hankin KC. They brought in medical experts to explain the extent and timeline of Ollie's injuries. Davis was again interviewed about 3 years after Ollie's death. And obviously, given the stretch of time since Ollie died, Davis and the driver must have had this cocky confidence that they had gotten away with literal murder. And Davis reaffirms his statement, that he had nothing to do with what happened to baby Ollie.
Are you responsible for the death of your child?
No.
Do you know who is responsible?
No.
Did you or anyone else cause any injury to Ollie that I'm going to discuss with you today?
I don't know, not me.
Specifically, you said at no point during that night or at any point have you ever manhandled or mistreated Ollie. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, never done anything to him.
Not even accidentally or unintentionally, I should say, in changing him, in clothing him.
No.
You're shaking your head. I just want to be clear on that.
And here we are, October 2021, 4 years after Ollie died. 4 years of the authorities painstakingly gathering evidence against Davis and Driver, and they would finally be charged with the murder. But it would still take another 2 years before this case would see its day in court. Unfortunately, the COVID backlog would contribute to this somewhat. February 2024. The two-month trial finally began at Leicester Crown Court in front of presiding judge, Justice Cotter. Kaylee Driver and Michael Davis being tried together, neither showing any emotion, let alone remorse during the trial, Driver even yawning during the paramedic's testimony. Pediatricians, forensic pathologists and child protection experts testified. Crown Counsel Hankin spoke of a newborn baby boy only 4 weeks old, that he completely relied on his parents and couldn't defend himself, that there was no way possible Ollie could have caused the injuries to himself. But I'm sure it would have been Dr. Hamilton's testimony that affected the jury the greatest. He spoke of the baby having 40 fractures, that being more than 10 a day for the entirety of his existence, that he suffered a horrendous brain injury. He had bleeding covering the entire surface of his brain. This baby suffering the worst abuse over the final days of his life, that those in the worst of car fatalities would only attribute to the same injuries. The timing of some of the injuries pointed directly at Davis. He was the only one with Ollie when the fatal fracture likely occurred, but Driver wasn't off the hook. Prosecutors arguing that she would have known something was wrong. Ollie would have been crying in pain, yet she continued to share a bed with Davis without seeking help for her baby. Quote, "You were together in the bedroom. This must have woken you up." Unquote. It would be then the most horrific of all injuries would be revealed to the court that hadn't been previously made known outside of the criminal investigation. Dr. Hamilton had also found an injury to the frenulum, and that's where the skin meets the underside of the penis. But this injury was thought to be caused by the forceful insertion of a bottle. This elevates this crime to sexual sadism. And again, an injury thought to be caused by Davis and not Driver. This would be related to that Davis was mostly alone with the baby. When Driver had Ollie, she was around other family members. And that she had other children. Children that we know didn't live with her. But they never suffered any injuries, let alone injuries as horrendous as these. It is thought these injuries to baby Ollie had been caused during 4 separate episodes of violence by at least 5 different methods. And this is what caused the horrific array of injuries to this sweet baby. First of all, a blow to the skull, a broken neck, compression to the ribs, twisting of the humeral fracture, pulling and twisting to cause growth plate fractures. And these are just the injuries that were considered the main injuries. Driver's half-sister, Georgia. She was so disturbed by the baby's crying that she sent a message. And Georgia was living in the house, and so Ollie's crying on this occasion stood out to her. Davis did take the stand during the trial. He said he wasn't prepared for fatherhood. And this is not remarkable on its own. I think most of us, if we're honest, we would say that parenthood was a shock to the system. But this is a person who was the perpetrator of domestic violence. Being young and inexperienced in parenting does not give someone an excuse to abuse a newborn baby. Davis would testify that before having Ollie, he didn't have a job, and that he really never had a job until just before Ollie was born. His life revolved around gaming, spending his nights on the PlayStation 4, playing games such as Fortnite, Grand Theft Auto and Assassin's Creed, as well as watching WWE wrestling on TV late into the night. But then after his son was born, he gained employment as a technician at Specsavers on a trial basis. So a new baby and a new job, that all affected his preferred routine. but he still chose to game it night instead of sleeping. So Davis was up all day working at his job, but also up all night gaming. And because he wasn't sleeping at night anyway, he was also entrusted with the night feeds of the baby. And then on October 13th, Driver's older three children arrived for an arranged visitation. Davis could not be less interested, not stopping his gaming for a second to talk to them, or spend time with them all as a family, completely giving some insight here to Davis's priorities. And then on the night Ollie died, Davis claimed he had gotten up to feed Ollie at 3 a.m. after being woken up by the crying baby, and then afterwards he went back to bed. When he woke up later that morning, Ollie was in the crib next to their bed and Driver was already downstairs with her mother. Davis claimed he checked on the baby. Ollie was a bit quieter than normal. He usually would be moaning and whinging after that long without a feed. Just like any newborn baby who cannot communicate their wants and needs any other way. But Davis claimed he noticed Ollie was lying on his back and his head wasn't straight. Ollie's eyes were closed, and when he touched the baby's forehead, it was really cold. Davis said there was no breathing whatsoever, and Ollie was floppy. Davis then claimed he commenced CPR without calling for help. And despite having no first aid training, he allegedly tried this for 15 minutes. He then carried the lifeless child downstairs to his mother. Driver would also later testify during this time she heard absolutely nothing. There was no sounds of someone panicking or shouting for help. Anything you would expect from someone who found their child unresponsive. The prosecution later arguing that this was the act of someone who knew he was responsible for what had happened. April 10, 2024. Michael Davis was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. Davis must serve at least 22 years before he will be eligible for his first parole hearing. In handing down his sentence, Justice Cotter directly addressed Davis, quote, "I have no doubt that during the night you became frustrated and angry, and this led to terrible violence." Driver's defense team would argue that there were special circumstances why she may have been naive to what Davis was doing to their son. She had multiple sclerosis that was getting worse, even turning up to court in a mobility scooter for sympathy. And this is fair because multiple sclerosis affects the brain and central nervous system, but Driver was walking fine before the trial. The defense team also claimed Driver had clinical depression, and she had the mental age allegedly of just over 11 years old. Which is interesting, given she managed to have four children with a lot of support in her life, yet no one had previously seen any of these issues as being a problem in her being a parent. And I get that she may have been more vulnerable, but she knew what was going on. I'm not going to take any excuse when it comes to her innocence, regarding her not knowing about the abuse to Ollie. And the judge would agree with me. Kaylee Driver was convicted of causing or allowing the death of a child and causing a child to suffer serious physical injury. She was sentenced to just 7 years in prison. Speaking after the sentencing, Ollie's maternal grandfather Ricky Driver says the crime shook the family to its core. Quote, "Ollie was perfect in every way when he was born. This is our worst nightmare. How could anyone hurt a beautiful baby is beyond words. We felt sick to our stomachs, and we have shed many a tear, thinking what Ollie went through in his final days. No sentence imposed will ever reflect the heartache and pain inflicted upon my family." Unquote. Detective Inspector Mark Parrish fronted the Waiting News media after sentencing, quote, "We never lost sight of the importance of achieving justice for Ollie." Unquote. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
There was a safeguarding report and learning brief that was made available by the Leicester Safeguarding Children Partnership Board after the conclusion of Davis and Driver's trial. The full serious case review wasn't initially shared because they wanted to protect the privacy of the surviving family. But the summary of insights and also the subsequent actions taken were provided through the learning brief. The notable concerns that came from this report included a failure to conduct birth assessments, despite the involvement of children's services regarding both parents. Also, there was a lack of investigation into Davis's background. There were also delays in coordinating interventions that could potentially have prevented Ollie's death, because the reports that came through to child services weren't treated with the care, thoroughness, and the gravity that they should have. There was also a lack of communication, sharing of information between professionals who were working with Ollie and the family. The report concluded that despite acknowledging systematic shortfalls, these would have not contributed to Ollie's death, that clearly more could have been done, but when they looked at all the evidence, nothing Children's Services could have done to prevent the baby's death. Now, I don't know if I agree with that, because if Children's Services had been more involved, in particular where Davis was concerned with his role as the father, maybe if extended family here were given more support. It is possible that this regular contact with Children's Services may have put the pressure on Davis and Driver, and they would have known that any mistreatment would have been called out on or discovered sooner. Then they knew they weren't going to get away with any neglect or abuse to Ollie, and then none of this would have happened. Leicester City Council proposed 16 improvements after the safeguarding report, and these have been implemented since 2017. So we will have to see if the test of time really shows that there is a commitment there to lower child abuse and child deaths of those under their watch. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice, and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. We are now on YouTube. 2 episodes a month where you'll get an exclusive video including photos, maps and news clips. We are still learning what we are doing, so please be kind. But we would appreciate it if you head on over and give our videos a like and subscribe to the channel. This all will allow me to share more of the stories you want to hear. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.